In today's episode, we are examining the history and reported phenomena surrounding Granite Ghost Town in Montana. We'll look at the documented history, recorded accounts, and all the local lore that has developed around the site over the past century. So we'd like to welcome you in to the Ominous Archives. So welcome back, and as always, I'm Nick.
No, I'm Em.
And she is back.
I am here.
She just took one episode off.
Yeah, that was the sickest I think I've ever been in my life, so it's probably better that you guys didn't hear from me. Thanks to Nick for taking over on that one.
Yeah, it was a very quick one, and I was like, it is definitely different doing this by yourself.
I was cracking up because I did cut and edit the episode, and I was cracking up at you at the end. You were like, yeah, this is weird signing off by myself.
Yeah, I just didn't, like, there were parts where I'm sitting there and
waiting for me to just chime in.
Somebody's going to chime in, and I was like, no, I am telling everybody this. So it took a lot of stops and starts to...
I promise I will try my hardest to never let it happen again.
Or we just have to get better at being set up for if something like that happens. Like, everything's stored at one house, so we should probably make it set up so we can...
In the case that one of us gets the plague again. Yeah.
We can at least do that. Anyway, today, like we said earlier, we're going to a ghost town.
Hey.
Granite Ghost Town, to be exact. It is located in the mountains of western Montana. It's roughly 15 miles from Phillipsburg, and it sits at approximately 6,000 feet in the Flint Creek Range. For a second there, I thought it was going to say it sits in, like, Flint Creek.
And I'm like, it's just in the creek.
It's just a town
and
a creek.
It's a ghost town and a creek town.
They didn't tell you need to bring scuba gear to go see it.
Right.
Today, the site is maintained as Granite Ghost Town State Park by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. What remains here are stabilized ruins and a few restored structures, including the superintendent's house and the old jail. The setting itself contributes to its reputation. The town is remote, winters are severe, snow can actually accumulate heavily and remain late into the season. The access road becomes impassable in the winter months. Even in the summer, fog and southern weather shifts are common in the mountains. So Granite was founded in the 1870s after silver deposits were discovered in the surrounding hills. The most productive operation was the Granite Mountain Mine, later merged with the Bimetallic Mine. And then in the mid-1880s, Granite had become one of the richest silver-producing areas in Montana. At its peak in the early 1890s, Granite's population ranged between about 2,000 to 3,000 people. For a mountain settlement at that elevation, this was pretty significant. The town included some hotels, saloons, boarding houses, a hospital, a school, a union hall, and even a newspaper. Electricity was introduced earlier than in other many mining camps, and Granite was not a crude frontier outpost, but a structured industrial community. However, it was also entirely dependent on that silver, which is, like, you figure. I feel like there's a lot of ghost towns that are probably mining towns.
Yeah. Mining conditions in Granite were typical of deep hard rock silver operations of the late 19th century. Working underground was physically demanding and frequently dangerous, and despite other advancements, the technology available at the time did little to reduce those risks. Miners commonly face several hazards during a typical shift, including tunnel collapses, explosions from blasting powder, toxic gases building up in poorly ventilated shafts, silica dust that gradually damaged the lungs, extreme cold during winter shifts at high elevation.
Which you would figure, right?
Yeah.
Working in a mine, that's my all-time fear.
Yeah. No,
like,
I
tunnel
actually,
collapsing.
Yeah.
And then, like, just thinking about it, I'm shoveling, and there's just, like, explosive powder on the ground, and you hit it just the right angle, and it sparks.
Right. Maybe not. The Granite Mountain Mine eventually reached depths of more than 1,000 feet below the surface. At those depths, ventilation became increasingly difficult. Air circulation depended largely on ventilation shafts and natural airflow, which were often insignificant, to remove smoke and toxic gases created by blasting and machinery. Fatalities were not uncommon. Historical records confirm that miners were periodically killed or injured by falling rock, underground explosions, and equipment failures. Exact numbers do vary by the source, but accidents occurred often enough that most town residents understood the risks associated with the mines. One particularly dangerous threat came from fires inside mine shafts, which could spread rapidly through timber supports and ventilation passages, which is just horrifying. Like, you're already in a tunnel.
Think it's already,
right, and then you're just like, what do you do?
Yeah, like, think of Centralia.
Yeah.
It's still on fire.
Yeah.
And that was a coal mine. Sorry. That was a coal mine, not silver mine. So
yeah, but
a little different. I feel like, but
it's the same idea.
It's the same, but different.
In January of 1889, a serious fire reportedly broke out in the lower levels of the Granite Mountain Mine. Smoke quickly filled sections of the tunnels, trapping miners underground. Rescue teams attempted to reach the trapped workers, but poisonous gases and unstable passages slowed the recovery efforts. Some of the victims' bodies remained underground for days before conditions allowed crews to retrieve them safely. Mining fires were especially deadly because they consumed oxygen and filled confined tunnels with smoke and toxic fumes. Even miners who managed to avoid the flames themselves could die just from asphyxiation or gas inhalation. Events like these left a lasting impact on the small community. In a town where most families depended directly on mining for their livelihood, every accident affected coworkers, neighbors, and relatives. Compensation for injured miners or the families of those killed was extremely limited during this period. Mining companies were not required to provide the kinds of worker protections or insurance that exist today, which is crazy. They're doing all of this just, like, unprotected.
They're just trying to get by.
Right.
It just goes to show you where, like, working was to where it is now, as far as, like, being, like, workers protected.
Right. While some widows and children occasionally received small payments or support from relief funds or community collections, many families received little or no compensation at all after a fatal accident. Elderly parents, relatives living abroad, or extended family members often received nothing. Given Granite's relatively small population, the cumulative toll of these incidents would have been felt through the town. Mining disasters, both large and small, were not isolated events. They were part of the daily reality of a life in the 19th century mining settlement.
So, about 4 years, right? Are we talking 4 years? Five? Not four. About 4 years in 1983, the Sherman Silver Purchase Act was repealed, and the price of silver pretty much collapsed immediately. For Granite, that was the fatal blow, and within months, the mine shut down, workers took off, businesses closed, and the population rapidly declined. By 1900, Granite was nearly abandoned, and unlike towns that declined gradually, Granite experienced a sharp economic collapse. That sudden abandonment contributes heavily to its modern atmosphere. The buildings were left behind, equipment remained, personal effects were sometimes discarded. What had been a prosperous mountain town became structurally empty within a few years. The elevation at which Granite sat made winter survival difficult, even during its active years. Heavy snow frequently cut the town off from supply lines. Avalanches were a seasonal risk, which, you know, there's the people who are in Tornado Alley, and I'm just like, that's mind-blowing. But to be like, oh, you know, it's avalanche season.
Yeah.
That's just mind-blowing. I know there's places like that now, but I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
The bitter cold affected mining operations and daily life. After abandonment, the weather accelerated deterioration, the wood structures began to warp, roofs collapsed, windows shattered, metal corroded, snow loads crushed weakened buildings, many ghost towns deteriorated gradually. Granite's high elevation hastened the process. This environmental severity significantly contributes to visitors' experiences today. The wind passes through partially collapsed buildings, producing low-frequency tones and irregular echoes. Temperature shifts cause wood to contract and expand audibly. Wildlife moves through the structures. None of these requires a supernatural explanation, but they do create a condition in which perception can be influenced.
So, Granite's reputation as a haunted location developed gradually during the 20th century as interest in abandoned mining towns increased. Visitors exploring the ruins began reporting unusual experiences, and over time, those accounts accumulated into a body of local folklore. Today, many paranormal investigators consider Granite one of Montana's more active haunted sites, though it remains far less well-known than some larger or more commercialized locations. According to paranormal investigators, the combination of violent working conditions, sudden economic decline, and long-term abandonment may have contributed to what they describe as lingering energy at the site. Among the most frequently reported phenomena are unexplained sounds inside empty buildings. Visitors often report hearing heavy footsteps moving across wooden floors in structures where no one else is present. These reports occur most frequently near the Miners' Union Hall, one of the town's largest surviving buildings. Witnesses sometimes claim to hear voices drifting from upper rooms or meeting areas that are visibly empty. The sounds are often described as muffled conversations or heated debates between multiple people. Another recurring report involves metallic noises resembling mining work. Some visitors report hearing hammering, clanging metal, and echoes of impacts from the surrounding hills, even though the mines have been inactive for more than a century.
Well, of course. All those people right. Who've probably died in the mines and everything, they're probably just still working away.
Yeah. Shadow figures are also frequently reported. These dark silhouettes are sometimes seen moving past windows or doorways in buildings that observers know to be empty. Witnesses often describe the figures as wearing clothing similar to that of late 19th century miners, including flat capes and work jackets. In many cases, the figures disappear when approached directly or when observers attempt to focus on them. Photography taken around Granite has also produced anomalies that some investigators find difficult to explain. Images captured inside the Miners' Union Hall sometimes show unexplained orbs of light or mist-like forms despite otherwise clear conditions. Equipment malfunctions are another frequently mentioned phenomenon. Paranormal investigators report that cameras, flashlights, and mobile phones sometimes lose battery power unusually quickly inside specific structures. According to these reports, the device often resumes regular operation once visitors leave the town site. Electronic voice phenomena recordings, commonly called EVPs, have also been collected during investigations. Some recordings reportedly contain faint whispers, mining commands, or fragment pleas for help. One apparition described by multiple investigators is known formally as the Foreman. Witnesses describe a tall male figure wearing a long coat and beard who appears near the mine entrance. According to reports, the figure seems to be inspecting the area as if preparing for a work shift. See, they're still working.
Mm-hmm.
The apparition purportedly disappears when approached or spoken to. A more disturbing entity reported by some visitors is known as the Burned Man. According to local stories, this figure appears near the mine entrance on foggy evenings. Witnesses describe a badly burned figure whose injuries resemble severe fire damage. The apparition is said to extend its hands towards observers before fading into mist. Those who claim to have encountered this figure often report smelling smoke or burning material at the same time.
So, one house that gets some recognition is the superintendent's house. Historically, the building served as housing for the mine management and senior staff. Compared with small cabins and boarding houses that the miners used to use, the superintendent's residence was, more substantial. Because of its construction, portions of the structure remain standing today. Many paranormal reports connected to Granite involve this building. Local folklore has attached a specific ghost story to the building. According to some accounts, a female apparition in Victorian clothing appears in the upper windows of the house. Some historians believe this legend may be linked to a woman believed to have been the wife of mine supervisor Charles McClure, who reportedly died during childbirth in the early 1890s. Visitors sometimes claim to hear faint crying or weeping sounds near the building's remains. As with most Granite Report, these accounts are anecdotal and cannot be independently verified.
The Granite Jail is another structure that draws significant attention from visitors. The building is small and enclosed with iron bars and thick stone walls. These materials create strong acoustic resonance, meaning even small sounds can echo sharply within the confined space. Wind moving through the bars can produce metallic vibrations that resemble rattling or clanging. Despite these natural explanations, visitors sometimes report unusual experiences inside the building. Some witnesses report hearing metal striking metal, similar to a cell door opening or lock being turned. Others report hearing footsteps approaching the structure before stopping abruptly. A few visitors describe feeling sudden anxiety or pressure when standing inside the small cell area, sensations that disappear once they leave the building. Historically, Granite's jail was used primarily for minor offenses, common in frontier mining towns. Records indicate arrests for drunkenness, theft, and disputes between workers. There's no documentation of executions occurring at the Granite Jail. However, the structure's physical environment, narrow spaces, heavy stone walls, and iron bars, can elicit a powerful psychological response. Even without paranormal explanations, the architecture alone can shape visitors' experience of the space.
Over time, investigators and historians have noticed patterns in many of Granite's reports. Encounters are most frequently reported during late afternoon or evening visits, particularly near sunset. At that time, lighting conditions change rapidly, and shadows become longer and less predictable. Foggy or overcast weather is commonly mentioned in eyewitness accounts. Granite's mountain location allows fog to move quickly through the ruins, altering visibility and distorting sound. Many reports also occur when visitors are alone or exploring in small groups, rather than during busy daytime tours. Beyond the well-known buildings, other areas of the town site are also associated with unusual reports. Near Granite's former schoolhouse, where only foundation stones remain, some visitors claim to hear children laughing or playing. Witnesses describe faint giggles and shouts coming from the area where the playground once stood. When people approached the location, the sounds reportedly stopped abruptly. Historical records indicate that several children in Granite died during the 1880s from diseases such as scarlet fever and diphtheria, which were common illnesses in frontier communities. It almost brings you back to Oregon Trail. The ruins of the International Hotel are another location connected to unusual reports. Visitors standing near the building's stone foundation sometimes claim to hear sounds resembling a busy dining room. Witnesses describe hearing clanking dishes, muffled conversation, and chair legs scraping across wooden floors. When investigators enter the structure, the sounds typically stop immediately. Among all Granite locations, the Miners' Union Hall is widely considered the most active. The building's large second-floor meeting room once hosted union gatherings where miners debated working conditions and strike actions. According to many investigators, this area produces the most frequent reports of paranormal activity. Visitors sometimes report hearing heavy boots climbing the building's deteriorating staircase when no one is present. The footsteps reportedly stop at the second floor landing, followed by the sound of a door opening, even though no door remains at that location. Some investigators also claim the second floor meeting room contains a persistent cold spot in one corner. Local stories suggest the area may correspond to where Union President Thomas McKay reportedly died from a heart attack during a heated meeting in 1892. Several modern investigations have also focused on the Union Hall. Photographer Sarah Jennings reported capturing a series of photographs in 2018 that appeared to show a figure standing in the building's second floor window. According to her account, the figure appeared in several consecutive images, despite the room reportedly being empty. In 2019, a Montana paranormal research group, Rocky Mountain Spirits, investigated the site. Investigators reported recording more than 40 minutes of unexplained sounds inside the buildings. During the same investigation, a thermal camera reportedly detected a human-shaped heat signature moving across the stage area of the Union Hall, even as ambient temperatures were significantly lower. Local resident Janet Morrison, who has visited Granite for more than 30 years, claims paranormal activity appears to have increased as the buildings continue to deteriorate. Morrison reported an incident in 2017 in which she heard her name three times from inside an empty structure while visiting the town site alone. Interest in Granite's paranormal reputation increased significantly after a 2015 article in Montana Ghost Towns magazine highlighted the site. Since then, several regional investigation teams have conducted studies there. Although the park regulations limit overnight investigations, some researchers claim that more than 200 reports of unexplained experiences have been recorded at the site since 2010. Audio analysis of Granite EVP recordings has also produced unusual results. According to some investigators, several recordings reportedly contain terminology used in the 19th century mining operations, including timbering, stope, and drift. One modern account was reported by history teacher David Kowalski, who visited Granite with his family in July of 2020. While exploring the ruins of the superintendent's mansion, Kowalski reported that his 8-year-old daughter began speaking with someone the adults could not see. According to Kowalski, the child described a sad woman wearing a long dress who said she was looking for her baby. After returning home, Kowalski later discovered the historical story involving Miss McClure's death during childbirth. Paranormal investigators have also recorded EVP in the area. During a 2021 documentary investigation, a team reported capturing a voice that appeared to say, "Get out of my office," while recording audio near the building's remains. Investigators note that Granite's historical population includes miners from Cornish, Irish, and Italian backgrounds, and some recordings appear to contain accents consistent with those communities. Whether these recordings represent genuine paranormal phenomena or simply environmental noise interpreted by listeners remains open to debate. What is clear is that Granite's remote location, preserved ruins, and dramatic history have created an environment where stories continue to develop. More than a century after the mines closed, the town remains physically quiet. But according to visitors, it may not be empty.
There are no confirmed records of mass burial sites unique to Granite, ritual practices, epidemic outbreaks exclusive to the town, large-scale violent events. Most tragedy in Granite was industrial and economic, and the town died financially before it died physically. That abrupt economic death may be more unsettling than a dramatic disaster narrative. It represents fragility and how quickly prosperity can evaporate. Granite was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1972, because of course it was. Stabilization efforts have preserved the remaining structures. It's now a state park and tourist destination during the warmer months. There are no overnight accommodations within the ghost town itself. Visitors must leave by park closing hours. Importantly, there are no officially documented incidents of injury attributed to paranormal events. The site is monitored and maintained.
Granite Ghost Town remains physically present. It is not a reconstructed theme attraction. It is a preserved industrial settlement at an altitude shaped by economic forces and abandoned infrastructure. Its haunted reputation is based on anecdotal reports layered on top of verifiable hardship. The facts alone are sufficient. Dangerous labor, economic collapse, rapid abandonment, mountain isolation. Whether the site contains residual energy, environmental suggestion, or simply the human tendency to assign narrative to ruins is up for interpretation. This episode was written by Sam, and if you're in the mood for a podcast about books, movies, or shows related to the horror genre, go check out her podcast and blog at Scare Me Sam. Also, look for us at our The Ominous Archives socials. Don't be afraid to reach out. We try to get back as fast as we can. And if you visited Granite's Ghost Town or had any experiences, like we said, share it with us. Email it over. We will update on any stories that we get, if we get any. So until then, stay haunted and stay weird. See ya.